Book clubs and knitting clubs are popular ways for women to get together with friends. Commentator Anna Ebra-Flaster says those clubs are fine for most of her neighbors in Lexington, Massachusetts, but she belongs to a much more exclusive group.
Most of us met by eavesdropping at the local grocery store. That's where you're most likely to hear a mother tear into her kids in her native tongue. In my case, I was searching for Goya's new garlic plantain chips when I heard hushed but familiar Spanish scoldings coming from the next aisle. I scooted my cart around the corner and saw Elsa for the first time, busy reprimanding Manuelita in fast-flowing Mexican-accented Spanish. Of course, meeting someone while they're yelling at their kid makes them feel like they've been caught with their pants down. So Elsa did some quick splaining about how Manuela hadn't napped, how hell knows no wrath like a toddler deprived, and oye chica, just where did I get my plantain chips? With so much to talk about, we formed a group called Latinas Vecinas, Latina Neighbors. Despite stark differences in age, lifestyle, and reasons for being in the U.S., we all share a need to let it rip now and then in unfettered Español. So once a month, we meet, eat, and talk extremely fast in our native language. Spanish always was the link to a secret world for me. I left Cuba as a small child and grew up in New Hampshire. For years, I thought Spanish was our family's own strange language. Only people inside our house understood it. Then, one day, on an outing to a lake, we ran into a large Ecuadorian family that spoke the same way. There could be but one explanation. Our family was huge. I was not entirely mistaken, and my Latina group confirms it. Our monthly reunions hum with the energy of an extended family get-together, even though new members show up all the time. Not surprisingly, the group's lone Spaniard weighs in heavily on our linguistic debates. I'd always suspected she was taking our grammatical measurements while sipping her Rioja at the head of the table. Then one night she proclaimed, "The Colombians speak best." As a Cuban, I felt offended. Had she noticed my telltale Caribbean Spanish habit, the dropped final S at the end of many words? Under her European shadow, this habit always left me feeling like an undereducated savage from the jungle. She probably sees it as just another impurity that blew in from the colonies, like all those OKs and sing-songy accents. I sit by the other gals from the Caribbean for camouflage. We all tend to get a little uppity about our beloved language, and we could spend our nights deciding whose accent sounds prettier or just which one of us has the claim to the papaya and other crucial words. But that's not really the point of the reunions. Instead, I think we're coming together to hear the sounds our mothers made when they sang us to sleep, the sayings of our grandmothers, the first words our daughters spoke. We're reminding ourselves that language is home and family, and when you're this deep inside foreign territory, the Boston suburbs, it brings a quiet comfort, even when spoken by strangers.
Anna Ebra-Flaster lives in Lexington, Massachusetts.